welcome to Dialogue Out Loud. I am Caroline Klein, a co-editor of Dialogue, and this episode is introducing our fall 2025 issue. Margaret, do you want to tell us about a couple of those research articles?
Yeah, so I want to tell you about Matthew Harris's article, Saving the Constitution with White Christian Nationalism, Ezra Taft Benson, W. Cleon Skousen, and their attempt to solicit the help of FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover. Matt Harris is such a great writer. He makes history so engaging, so interesting. And in this one, he talks about Mormon apostle, well, then apostle Ezra Taft Benson going to Washington, D.C. as a cabinet secretary, but also having a secret charge from the prophet, David O. McKay. Benson believed that he had been called by God to battle communism and defend the Constitution. And while he's serving in this post as the agriculture secretary, he ends up forming an alliance with J. Edgar Hoover. And Harris walks us through their friendship and how they shared white Christian nationalist politics, and even went to the point of, you know, when each of them published books, they would sign a copy and send it to the other with a personal message of how much, you know, their work meant to them. So it's disturbing, it's fascinating, and great article.
Yeah, that sounds very juicy. That will be quite the fun article to read. Any last comments, Margaret, about something that, you know, surprised you or something that stayed with you in this article?
I think it surprised me just how personal their relationships were. I knew that there was some shared political ideas about, you know, believing that Martin Luther King was a troublemaker, other things that, you know, were quite distressing. But these men were friends, and they, you know, they spent time together socially. And yeah, that relationship is pretty interesting.
Oh, I am looking forward to seeing that in print. That's really cool. And a couple more research articles that are going to appear in this issue. One is called Confronting Men's Violence Against Women and Girls in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And this is by Suzanne Greco. And I think this is going to be a really memorable article. It does explore how the LDS Church's culture and policies enable men's violence against women and girls while survivors are often silenced, unfortunately. And she shares, I think what's so memorable about it is that she shares her own story of abuse and betrayal. And her own story really illustrates how deeply systemic some of these failures are. And ultimately, she's going to call for sweeping reforms, legal changes, more women's leadership, and a lot of education about consent and abuse that all of us, including our leaders, need in order for our church to live up to its best values. And finally, our last academic research article that will be appearing in this issue is called Secret Societies and the Political Context of Joseph Smith's Rewritten Scripture. And this is by Colby Townsend. And this is going to be a really interesting article as well. It argues that Joseph Smith's Book of Mormon and his revisions to Genesis were actually really shaped by early American fears of secret societies, and not only the anti-Masonic movement from the 1820s, but also even broader, like anti-Jacobin conspiracy literature after the French Revolution. And he just shows that how Smith wove these anxieties into scripture, portraying secret combinations as satanic threats to civilization. So I think a lot of people find that one really interesting as well. Charlotte, could you tell us about some of the personal voices pieces?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that. So I'm Charlotte Hanson Terry, and I'm the personal voices editor. And we have two great personal voice essays in the fall 2025 issue. The first is from Timothy Cannon called Mormon Tarbuti. And for this piece, Cannon considers the ideas of orthodoxy by exploring his experiences and those of his friend in Mormonism from the time that they were children. He then reflects on the difficulty of retaining a Mormon identity when someone might not fit what is considered orthodox. And he traces his experiences of considering other religions and their cultures and what Mormon culture is, and also its complexity. And then our second one, the name is withheld from this one, and the title is Godly Love Enough? Reflections on an Ace Marriage. And in this piece, the author talks about their experiences in an ace marriage where their spouse came out to them as ace and then how they navigated that. So they explore how LDS beliefs of family have been difficult for them to grapple with. And they talk about how God is the master builder of both this idea of our souls and our families, and also a living church that's continually being renovated. And again, through the difficulties and experiences that they've had in their own family and navigating that and what that looks like.
Charlotte, these sound excellent. And maybe can you explain really quickly what ACE stands for?
Yeah, that's a great question. So ACE means asexual. So if we're thinking about the larger like LGBTQIA identities, asexuality is part of that. And so especially for someone to be encountering what that looks like for their spouse to come out to them as asexual, and what that looks like within a Mormon cosmology, especially with ideas of family, it's a really interesting piece that way. So
That sounds like a brand new area. I don't think I've read any Mormon themed articles that really get into that very much. So I'm really excited for that one to come out for sure. Charlotte, is there anything that like stood out in these two Personal Voices pieces? Was there anything in particular that stood out to you or that stayed with you in some way?
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like the last line of the first piece by Timothy Cannon actually gives us a really interesting way of thinking about both pieces. And so at the very end of his piece, he says, "It is hard being Mormon, but it is not easy to not be one either." And that line has really stuck with me. And I think both of the pieces kind of explore some of those ideas in slightly different ways about what that might look like and how it is to navigate those kinds of spaces as well.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. Teresa, tell us about the poetry.
Hi, I'm Teresa Wilborn, the poetry editor for Dialogue. In this issue, we have 5 poems by 4 authors. Discretion is by Joseph Morgan, and that is primarily about life's journey. Each of us seek our own salvation and the journey and the steps that we take to do so. He outlines that in a very poetic manner and ties it up with the journey is really one of yourself and with Christ. The next poem is Atonement Poem by Theric Jepson. It is a very brief poem, reads a little bit like a haiku or double haiku because it's a little bit longer. But pretty much about the atonement, very thoughtful piece. We have 2 poems by D.A. Cooper. The first one is lighter in tone, very thoughtful, and it's entitled Birding at the Lake. There is a lot of wonder in this poem. The last bit of this poem reads, "Pen and paper perched on my lap, I searched the Newman for the notes of my song." The other poem that Daniel has that we are publishing in this issue is quite the antithesis. It's entitled Hunger, and it is after Daniel 6. There's a lot of fear in this poem, a lot of dark nuances here about the fear of sleep, about feeling consumed by warmth, and it's a very lonely, dark piece. Very good. So those 2 act as a yin and yang. And then the last poem is Sackcloth by Kyle Hunter. And this one also pairs very well with this grouping. It is very similar in tone to Hunger by D.A. Cooper. But this poem, Sackcloth, the themes are repentance and remorse. The conversation in the poem is about sacrificing a goat. And it's not an easy read, but our readers are going to have to check that out. I don't want to give any spoilers there.
Oh, Teresa, no, these sound very interesting. Is there one in particular that really stayed with you in some way?
Probably the darker poems. Whenever we come across, you know, those as submissions, it's always a little bit thrilling. The church is so much about light, but I also like to really explore the darkness as well, and the doubts and the worry and concern and frankly, anxiety, right? And fear. And those are definitely demonstrated in Sackcloth by Hunter and Hunger by Cooper.
Oh, so interesting. Thank you. Joe and Ryan, is there anything you can tell us about fiction?
Yes. So I'm Ryan Shoemaker, co-fiction editor at Dialogue, and I'm here with Joe Plicka. So for the fall 2025 issue of Dialogue, we're excited to share with you the first letter she found, an epistolary short story by LDS writer Charity Shumway, author of the novel Bountiful, winner of the Association for Mormon Letters 2020 Novel Award, and the novel 10 Girls to Watch from Washington Square Press. In the first letter she found, Shumway crafts a heart-wrenching story about a mother who pens a candid letter to her teenage daughter in which she recounts her conflict, regret, and sorrow over leaving her LDS faith tradition as a young woman to appease her boyfriend and soon-to-be husband who wants nothing to do with religion. In the letter, the mother wonders if she too easily forsook her cherished faith and then admonishes her daughter to be cautious in letting go of the things she loves to placate others. It's a wonderful read. The first time I read it, it just brought tears to my eyes. And I think it's going to resonate with people because all of us at this point have friends and family who've left the church and other personal stories. And this adds a complexity to the experience as this woman who's writing this letter still remembers her cherished feelings about the church and is trying to convey that to her daughter and trying to teach her daughter not to let go so easily those cherished, wonderful spiritual things in her life.
That does sound very powerful. And I think that's such a universal theme, right? This idea of the things we sometimes give up when we didn't really want to give them up, but there was some sort of feeling like we had to do it at the time. And also that feeling of regret. I mean, that's such a powerful emotion to explore. So I'm excited. Thanks so much for recapping that. And lastly, we have some book reviews. So Nicholas, who is our new book review editor for Academic Books, Nicholas Shrum, can you tell us a little bit about the reviews we have in this issue?
Yeah, absolutely. We have several really thoughtful and I thought really helpful academic book reviews for this issue. First up, we have Fernando Pinheiro, who reviews Missionary Interests, Protestant and Mormon Missions in the 19th and 20th Centuries. It's an edited collection by David Golding and Christopher Cannon Jones. In this review, Pinheiro highlights how it breaks new ground in putting Protestantism and Mormonism efforts side by side. So it's comparative, it's interdisciplinary, shows how the traditions sometimes clash and sometimes connect, but oftentimes run in surprising parallel. Next, we have a review by James C. Jones, dives into Reverend Dr. Fatima Saleh and Margaret Olsen Hemming's three-volume series, The Book of Mormon for the Least of These. And Jones doesn't hold back. He calls it one of the best resources out there for reading the Book of Mormon today. And that's because it pushes readers to think about justice, about resisting greed, and about caring for the marginalized. So in other words, the series is a really bold, refreshing corrective to some traditional ways of reading that text.
Let me jump in really quick. I'm so sorry, Nicholas, I totally talked over you, but I just wanted to jump in before you moved on to another book review, because of course we have to acknowledge that the author of that wonderful book that James Jones reviewed is our very own Margaret Olsen Hemming, co-editor of Dialogue, who is here with us right now. And what a standout contribution this series is. So Margaret, well done. And I'm so excited that this review is gonna be in this issue of Dialogue.
Thank you. I admire James Jones's work so much. So this was really generous of him to do the review.
And Nicholas, I super apologize for cutting you off there. But anyway, go ahead, keep going.
No worries. I mean, I was excited. I haven't read the series, but reading the review, I have to now. So it was really exciting to read. There's two more. One is by Rachel Helps, reviews Latter-day Saint Art, A Critical Reader, which is edited by Amanda Beardsley and Mason Allred. And Helps makes it clear in the review that this is not the first word on Mormon art, and it's not going to be the last, but it is a landmark collection that lays the groundwork for future scholarship. It brings together a whole wide range of perspectives on LDS artistic expression. And then the last one that we have is from Haley Heaps Bergen, reviews Marianne Meets the Mormons, Representations of Mormonism in 19th Century France. which is by Heather Belknap, Corey Cropper, and Daryl Lee. Bergen calls it a groundbreaking study, showing how the French use Mormonism as a kind of cultural mirror, reflecting and critiquing their own society through how they talked about Mormonism. She also praises it as a careful research and interdisciplinary depth and says that it lives up to the goal that's stated in the book to be a translocative history of Mormonism. So excellent reviews and lots of thoughtful commentary.
Oh my gosh. No, these sound great. And of course, we have to give one more shout out, which is the Latter-day Saint Art, A Critical Reader. One of the editors of that book is our very own Amanda Beardsley, who is the art editor for Dialogue. So anyway, we have, boy, our people are producing. How thrilling. Now I need to produce something to keep up with you guys. And I love that we have this kind of global element in at least one of these book reviews, Marianne Meets the Mormons. So I love that we're kind of getting outside the US and these reviews are exploring these other kinds of manifestations of Mormonism and what it means elsewhere. And finally, a last couple of notes about what is in this issue is we have a From the Pulpit piece by our very own Margaret Olsen Hemming, a wonderful sermon about climate change, which I know you all will enjoy. And we also have her art note. Margaret, would you like to tell us a little bit about the art note you wrote?
Yeah, so this was not my work, but it was an interview between the authors or the editors of the new Latter-day Saint Art, A Critical Reader, which is Amanda Beardsley and Mason Kamana Allred, and their conversation with Glenn Nelson, who's the director of the Center for LDS Art. This is truly a groundbreaking academic work. It's the first real survey of Mormon art in an academic collection and published by OUP. And the Center for LDS Art did a really amazing thing by helping subsidize this book so that it is over 600 pages, fully in color, and is at a really reasonable price. But they talk about all of these different chapters in this book that cover everything from Mormon art and architecture in Mexico to the Paris Art Mission to Mormon feminist art to Mormon film. And it is just an extraordinary book and a huge contribution to this field.
That is awesome. I love that we have both a book review about this Latter-day Saint Art, A Critical Reader, this incredible contribution. And we also have an art note about it. So well-deserved. LDS art is really an area of Mormon studies that I expect will be becoming more and more important over time. And so it's really neat that we are featuring and talking about this in this issue. Thanks again for joining us, and we look forward to next time.
Greetings. My name is Rebecca DeSchweinitz, and I'm thrilled to serve as a board member at the Dialogue Foundation and as one of the hosts of Dialogue Gospel Study. In each episode, which we record live the second and fourth Sunday of every month, we welcome esteemed speakers from a variety of backgrounds to share their insights and perspectives on the Come Follow Me lessons. Our aim is to spark meaningful conversations about the scriptures, to connect them to our personal experiences and to our understandings and explorations of the gospel. To stay in the loop with our upcoming lessons and this opportunity to engage with Mormon thought, culture, and belief, be sure to visit dialoguejournal.com and sign up for our newsletter. By doing so, you'll receive updates and timely links to join our live stream lessons. Additionally, you can catch up on our past guests and episodes by subscribing to Dialogue Journal on YouTube, Facebook, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dialogue Podcast Network.